Hey guys, Madeline here.
I have a quick announcement before we get to the episode. As some of you know, we recently launched our very first fundraising and publicity campaign as a nonprofit organization, which is super exciting. What does that entail? Well, it means that we are seeking your support in two different ways. Number one, we have a brand new professionally produced video trailer for the podcast. It is so beautiful, and I am crossing my fingers it even chokes you up a bit. It has been known to do that. We are doing our best to blast this thing all over the internet in order to help more families find us. You can view the full version on our website, therarelife.org, or you can find the shortened version on our social media accounts, both on Instagram and Facebook. You can find us there by searching The Rare Life if you don't already follow. If you are willing to help us spread the word, we would love for you to share this trailer with your own circles. You never know who it could touch. Thank you in advance for doing that. And then the second part of this campaign is the fundraiser. This funding will enable us to continue to function and continue creating these life-giving episodes. We are humbly asking you, our beloved listeners, to consider donating to The Rare Life. And while one-time donations are super-duper helpful, this time around, we are specifically requesting that you sign up for monthly recurring donations, much like the platform Patreon, because recurring is even more impactful than one-time donations. And we decided to shake things up a little bit and make it fun, and we are calling it the TRL Sticker Club. TRL stands for The Rare Life. Why are we calling it that, you may ask? Because if you sign up for a donation of at least $5 a month, you will receive a sticker as a thank you. And it's not just any old sticker, but a sticker exclusively designed by our incredible team member, Alyssa Newtile. We worked hard on these and hope that they will find their way to your child's medical equipment, your water bottles, or anywhere else you like to stick stickers. These sticker designs are inspired by our community and specifically the Rare Life community. So it is medical life meets mental health, trauma, talk about the hard stuff, life. Alyssa created not one, but four different stickers. So if you sign up for the $5 a month, you get to pick out your favorite of the bunch to be sent to you. If you sign up for $15 a month, you get to pick out your favorite two stickers. And if you sign up for $30 a month or higher, you get to have all four sticker designs. I know you're probably dying to see them, or you should be, because they're super awesome. So hop on over to our website, therarelife.org/stickerclub, so you can see the designs and sign up. And one last thing, it is the sense of urgency that you've been waiting for. The TRL Sticker Club will close on the last day of this fundraiser, which is November 28th. After that time, you are so welcome to make donations, but we will no longer be sending out stickers as thank yous. Our next Sticker Club fundraiser will open in 6 months with a fresh batch of exclusively designed stickers. For this first campaign that we're doing right now, it is our goal to have 100 TRL Sticker Club members, which will fund 10 episodes of season 9, which is coming out in January. As of right now, we have 26 gracious Sticker Club members. Shout out to those incredible supporters. You know who you are. Each one of you are helping us continue to produce this podcast. But we still have a ways to go to meet our goal of 100. Your contribution will make the difference. You can help us reach that goal. Every bit counts. So please pause this episode, go check out therarelife.org/stickerclub, check out the stickers, and consider signing up for a recurring donation to help us continue producing this incredible podcast. You guys, I've gotten the messages. I've heard how impactful this podcast and organization has been to you. So if you could now put your support behind us by sharing the trailer, joining the sticker club, or both, it would be so, so appreciated and help us continue doing what we're doing. All right, on to the episode. Hey, you're listening to The Rare Life. I'm your host, Madeline Cheney, and today I am joined by Alyssa Newtile to celebrate season 8 in this finale episode. Say hi, Alyssa.
Hello.
In this finale episode, we will follow protocol for all of our finale episodes. We have a tradition by now. We are going to listen to takeaways from three different listeners. They're going to share what their favorite episode was of season 8 and why they listened to the podcast. We will chat about behind the scenes, which is really fun to have Alyssa here with me because she's been the backstage with me. We're the ones doing it. So that'll be great.
We are the behind the scenes.
We are the behind the scenes. Yes. And then I will also give you a little sneak peek about season 9 coming up. But first, we will start with our little run through of all the episodes of season 8 to kind of like help us wax nostalgic and like remember all the episodes that came out for the last few months. So let's go ahead and listen to just little tiny mini clips of each episode of season 8.
And so I just feel like I'm hearing all of this in a tunnel because I don't even understand what she's saying. Like, I can't even think about what is happening. And I just interrupted her and I just said, okay, but what are the chances that she has this? I'm confused. And she said the doctor would be surprised if she didn't.
On the outside, you'll see this smiling person or this person who's really engaged in conversation, engaged in everyday activities, engaged in everyday life. But at the end of the day, this is the unfortunate truth that my kid has a disorder that will end her life early, and I don't know how to deal with that.
Like, it's just so ironic because you're so stressed and out of your mind, like you're so stressed. Here are all these health issues that you have to deal with and that need time and attention.
Well, what does your self-care look like this week? I just like, as a therapist, I hate asking that question. I want to shift it to like, well, what are your needs this week? What do you need to be in a good place emotionally this week?
And then they said, look, we're worried that all this stuff is pointing to a bigger problem. That's when it really set in, there's something wrong and it's just all happened so fast and you've been through so much trauma already. That's when it really hit me.
For us, we did not want him to be in the hospital on a ventilator and have to make that decision to turn it off. That's what it came down to for us. We wanted him at home. We wanted him with us. We wanted him comfortable and we didn't want him to die in the hospital.
Our children's disabilities and medical complexities just affect every aspect of our lives, right? So it's either going to make it so like you're kind of forced to quit or you choose to quit because you know that that's best for them or whatever, or you're working and it's a struggle.
And I think it was more traumatic than anything that had happened in a hospital setting, even though there had been scary times, because it was just us. It was down to us. If we don't save him, then he will be gone.
Loss is one of the most powerful things in the world. It's not good or bad, but it is objectively an incredibly powerful, transformative thing. It changes our lives. It destroys lives. It completely puts us on different paths.
For these like really intense emotional experiences, we are also experiencing them. And it's okay, and you deserve care, and like you are allowed to take time for yourself, and it's important to process it. And that will hopefully make you a better parent and better caregiver and better partner.
They kind of have this ability to just do kind of whatever they want within reason. Obviously, they have to keep their child safe. But you go, okay, are they safe? Yes. Are they doing the job? Yes. Are they doing it the way you want? No. Is it worse to not have someone?
There's a few of them that I'm getting this sense that like they know what it is. I know that she doesn't have like a genetic diagnosis, but like the way they keep looking at certain tests and going over certain things and like keep asking for certain things, like I just know that there's something in the minds of all these people that they are not telling us.
If you're not finding it at church, like that's okay. Like that's not the only place to find love and care. It's out there in other places through other people, sometimes unexpectedly through a nurse or through a random therapist or a stranger at the grocery store. Like love is out there, or you can call it God. God is out there.
The world we live in is not kind to people with disabilities. The systems are not set up for them. Day by day, we hear more stories about the abuse suffered by children like my child. She's been loved her whole life, and even when it's hard, she's comforted by us. I can't imagine her having to suffer abuse and feeling unloved, but also not having the capability to understand why we aren't there anymore to love and protect her. It's been a while since a few of those, like towards the beginning, like to remember like, oh yeah, those episodes, that was all in season 8.
Yeah, it's a little bit surreal because some of these I edited all the way back in like early summer. So
yeah, like,
a little bit of a blast from the past to listen to some of these again.
Yeah, no, I think that is crazy to go back and be like, the Faith episode, I recorded that in May. And weird right now, recording in November. So it has been a literal 6 months since that was recorded. So it's kind of crazy when like we record them ahead of time and then it happens to come out later in the season. And it's like, whoa, it's been a long time. But yeah, I think, you know, the season went really well. I wanted to share too what the most listened to episodes were of season 8. I thought that would be kind of fun because I have gotten really good now at not obsessing over download numbers like I used to. So I've been like blissfully ignorant, just like, you know what? Like I'm just releasing these and I'll check once in a while. I'm not checking like every few days or anything. So the significantly most listened to episode was the careers episode. Is that surprising to you?
No, that makes so much sense to me. I think it's a really sensitive topic for people, whether or not they have a career anymore. Because if you had any career aspirations at all whatsoever of any kind, like they're going to be significantly impacted by having a medically complex child. So that's not surprising to me.
Yeah, super relevant. I like those ones that like it's a wide net, very specific topic, but it relates to like almost everyone. Those are the golden topics. That was a fun one to do. And one of those that I'm like, wait, like it took us 3.5 years to do that one. I was afraid that like by the time we got this far into the podcast, I would have like run out of like really good topics to cover, but they just keep coming up. And then that's one thing that I have to say too. I really love when people suggest topics to me like, oh, have you ever thought about doing an episode about XYZ? Because someone asked for this one. That's why we did it. So people who are like, you know, active on social media and like message us about things like that, that's super helpful.
So on the, it took 3.5 years to get the careers episode. Here's a thought. Like when you started this project, because you said like you had originally kind of envisioned yourself as more of like stay at home mom, like not working outside of the home. And when you started The Rare Life, did you think about it like as a job or just kind of like a fun little like side project, or maybe not fun, a necessary little side project you were doing?
I would say from day one, I treated it like a job. And I think that's what helped it succeed, because it never felt like a hobby or something. It was like definitely felt jobby.
Yeah.
Job-esque.
Well, and now it's a nonprofit. So it's like officially a job, right? Like you have a title, like you run a whole little thing. And so I'm just wondering if like maybe part of the reason it came up now, like does it seem more relevant to you now at this point?
I don't know, because it's just like the weird thing, like I kind of mentioned in the episode where it's like, because of Kimball, I have this career. So it's like the reverse of most people. I will say I always wanted to work. I really like working. So I'm definitely not like one of those people that's like, let me just homestead all day and I'm so happy. But yeah, I would say because of that, like it kind of was like in my blind spot, this topic, because I'm like, oh, well, like I'm so grateful I have this career that I am like so passionate about. And like, obviously, I would never cross my mind if I hadn't had Kimball with his like medical stuff. So anyway, I don't know. I was really glad someone suggested it because it's an obvious, like when I heard it, I was like, oh, of course we need to talk about this. But I just didn't really think about it.
Interesting. I mean, to be fair, I also have this career based on Gemma, like not necessarily like I started out as a podcaster, but like I transitioned to podcasting because I could work remotely because of my daughter. So
yeah. So here's the good that comes of it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's another really nice thing too about having like as the team has expanded. So like having the board of directors and you, it's really nice because I'm getting more perspectives on like topics that are relevant that we need to talk about. So anyway, that's been really great. And then tied for second place of like the most popular episodes of the season are three that are tied in second place. Okay. So they are Child Loss 101, The Logistics of Child Loss. Did not see that coming. I will not lie. I was expecting like bottom marks, but it's there if you need it kind of thing. So that was interesting. The next one was Fearful of Child Loss, like the one like anticipating child loss. That makes sense to me because that's like pretty much everyone. And then the other one that was tied for second is The Effects of Chronic Stress on Our Bodies. But I think it's worth pointing out these episodes have been out for varying lengths of time. Right. So the episodes that are earlier on in season 8 are obviously going to have more listens than like ones that came out like a few weeks ago. So it will be interesting to see how it shakes out. I think looking at it in like a few months will be a more accurate
representation of which ones were truly the most popular, because, you know, the one that we just released a few days ago about the fear of your child outliving you, I could totally see that being a really popular one, but like it's only had a few days to gain listen. So these are the top ones as far as we can tell right now.
That makes perfect sense. And like looking at the back end, one thing that's really cool about podcasts is they live forever, right? So like some of these that are really popular can be really popular for like literally like years. Like you've talked about how the pain scale episode is like still getting listens to this day. Mm-hmm. So like sometimes you don't even know for like 6 months which one is the most popular.
Yeah. Like I just recently was looking through the top, I think like top 10 episodes or something. And I was like, wait, really? This one? Like I thought that one flopped. I did not know, like because at the beginning it didn't get that many listens. And then it like makes its way to the top of the charts because as time goes on, more people find it. Like other things can come into factor too. Like, oh, that was during the summer break or like, you know, things that are happening like just in life. But anyway, that's something to be aware of too.
Does all make sense to me like topic wise, but I do remember you getting a lot of messages when you were recording the like Child Loss 101 and asking people about it. Of a lot of people who are like, I don't think I can listen to that at all.
Yeah.
And you had some people tell you that like they were for sure not going to listen to it. So it is interesting that it was so popular.
Yes. I had people tell me they were going to unfollow me. Not like as a threat. But they were like, for those weeks, I'm going to unfollow you so I don't see any of the stuff about this. So that is really interesting.
They thought it was going to be really triggering.
One thing I heard from a lot of people was like, oh, this was not as hard as I thought it would be to listen to. That made me feel better because I did feel kind of like, ooh, I don't want to drag these people through hell unnecessarily and then – or necessarily either way. I don't want to drag you through hell. So that was good to hear. That wasn't as hard as people thought it might be.
For the editing process, I would say, honestly, like the anticipatory grief, fearful of child loss episode, I thought was like the most emotional one out of all of them.
Yeah.
Because the Child Loss 101 did end up being a lot more like logistical as opposed to discussing, I think, a lot of the like emotional side of what you go through.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think that one definitely, because fearing your child passing away or like thinking about it and anticipating it is just... it's where most of us are, right? Like most people in the community are in the before part, assuming that other people mean the after part later. But like, that's a really difficult place to be in.
Mm-hmm.
So on that note, let's listen to the three parents who share their takeaways from season 8 and what their favorite episode was. It was not necessarily reflected in the top episode. So I thought that was interesting. Okay, so first we're going to hear from a listener named Amber.
Hi, my name is Amber Robertson. I live in Northern California. My daughter, Mia, is 1 year old, and she has glycogen storage disease type 4. I listen to The Rare Life because it gives me a sense of belonging, something I haven't felt in this whirlwind of a year. I have felt isolated, sad, confused, alone, and very misunderstood. Something you only know when you go through it, and when I listen, it's like a source of therapy for me. A reassurance that other people feel that way and that I am not alone. It also gives me something to listen to on our long trips for me as doctor's appointments. My favorite episode this season was 129, Madison's Story, Delayed Diagnosis and Painful Comparisons. I just related to her story of doctors telling her her child was fine and that getting into your own head, like, okay, she's fine. They said so, but knowing in your gut she isn't fine and having to find a doctor that will listen. And then the imposter syndrome part of, you know, it could be worse, but you're somewhere in the middle of really good and really bad. And when she said that I had a life before the medical world and after, and my child will never have that life before. She will only know this.
I love the fact that these story episodes, how they pull out mini themes, because I think a lot of these things, it's like you're not going to make like a whole episode about like even just the thing like, oh, how she was saying in Madison's episode how like I have a before and after of like the diagnosis, but my daughter never will have that before. You wouldn't necessarily make an episode all about that, but that's like a really real thing that I think a lot of us have thought before or felt or didn't think to think, and then they're like, oh yeah, that's so true. And so I love how story episodes pull that out. And like
your episode that you did about trust in the medical system. Like, that was wildly popular. Like, a lot of people were like, oh my gosh, yes, like, this totally happened to me. So I just love that like, kind of organically and like authentically just naturally pulls up those like mini themes.
I think Madison's was one of my favorites to listen to, like, while it was going through editing. Not so much because our journey looks so similar, but like, I've heard that so often where like, there's a lot of parents in our community, if their kid's diagnosis or whatever isn't as like, quote unquote, severe, people, you know, they'll like hedge like, oh, well, it's not that bad. So I feel bad like complaining about it, or I feel bad asking for help or whatever. I think Madison's episode gives everybody permission to be like, no, like, it doesn't matter where you fall on the continuum of like, bad or not. Like, if you're in the medically complex life, like, it is hard, and like, you deserve help and validation, and like, you don't have to hedge just because some people have it worse than you. Like, I think so many of us, just receiving a diagnosis for a child at all is like a really traumatic thing, and it's okay to just go with that.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the pain scale, like episode 95. That was one of our top episodes ever, but just like the comparison of like, sure, like, her child is way more medically complex than mine. She has it so much worse than me. I should just be grateful. But it's like, I'm at a 10 too. Like, we're both at 10s. We're both at complete capacity, just because that's what happens. You just keep getting pushed and pushed past what you feel you're able or capable of doing or have experienced before. And so the fact like, we're both at 10s, even if that looks different, like, of like the specifics of like how severe things are for my child. Yeah, I think it's important to, like you say, like, not minimize what we're going through. And I do think Madison's like really brought that up. That's one reason I wanted to have her on, like, for her story episode, is we talked about that before, like, off the hook. And I was like, I'm sure this is a common thing that we need to talk about.
Yeah. And, you know, different complexities come with different problems too. Like, each layer down or up you go of this like medically complex continuum or whatever isn't necessarily like better or easier problems or whatever. Like, a lot of these layers like just have different problems, you know? So it's like, maybe you don't have to worry about like figuring out how to change trachs and stuff like that, but like, you are going to have like a ton more school stuff to figure out, right? Like, if your child's like going to a school but they need an IEP, but like, they're aware of like their peers and their peers aren't nice, you know? Like, there's just all these little things that like intermix in different ways that like, some of that I don't have to worry about with my daughter being more medically complex than others, you know? So it's not, as far as like difficulty, like, honestly, I think a lot of this stuff evens out at a certain point.
It kind of all shakes out. Well, there's also interesting too, just the most recent episode that just came out about the fear that your child will actually live longer than us as parents. I think that's also a testament to that, because it's like, well, someone could look at someone who, like with Gemma, where she has a shortened life expectancy, right? And like, that is the worst, most horrible thing that could happen. But then there's also other parents who are like, oh no, I feel so distraught that I'm going to probably pass away before my child does. So it's like this like really complex thing where there's not like one that's better or worse, or like, there's probably simpler and more complex, but it all really, it's just so interesting because it all does kind of like shake out.
Yeah, it's just different. The things you have to worry about are different. Because, yeah, I mean, that's a really great point that you make. Like, I don't probably have to worry about, like, contingencies for her when I'm gone, because, like, that's just not likely to be in the cards for her. And, yeah, that is, like, one less thing. I have to worry about different things, but not that. So, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I feel bad even, like, comparing that.
No, but it's totally true. Yeah. And that came up in that episode, too, right? Like, it was hard to decide for like a lot of your listeners, like, which one of those is worse, because like, they're different, but they're both equally awful in some ways.
Yep. And it all comes down to like how much we freaking love these kids.
Totally.
Pick your poison. Anyway. Okay. Yay for Madison's story. And then also something I wanted to pull out too from Amber's message too. I love that she listed out the reasons that she listens to the podcast, like in general, where she said it was therapeutic and helped her know that she wasn't the only one going through stuff. And I'm like, ding, ding, ding. Those are like my two main goals for the podcast. So that made me feel really happy to hear her getting those benefits out of it, because that's the goal.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, so thank you, Amber. You're the best. Okay, so now we're going to listen to Elisa.
Hello, my name is Elisa. I live in Brazil. My child's name is Lucia, and she has Dandy Walker syndrome. I love listening to the podcast because it gives me a sense of community It helps me feel less alone in this journey, and it also helps put into words a lot of feelings I have. My favorite podcast was the last one, because the thought of my child outliving me and being left in the care of someone else is something that gives me a lot of anxiety. And, you know, you're listening to your guys' thoughts and even, you know, the options you mentioned, just thinking that there might be options about it is a little reassuring. And I think eased a little bit of that anxiety. So thanks for all the work you do.
This is off topic a little bit, but it's so funny to hear people who have the actual syndrome that my daughter was misdiagnosed with.
Oh, that's why that sounded familiar. I was like, wait, this seems relevant somehow. Yeah, that's the one where they would have been good to do the surgery that they ended up doing. And then they
absolutely.
Yep, there you go. Yeah, no, I love how also she said, like, the podcast helps her put to words things that she's feeling. That I love that, because I think that's very powerful to, like, hear someone say something and to be like, that is it. That's it right there. That's how I feel about this topic. And I've heard people also talk about, like, I didn't even realize I felt this way until I heard someone say it. I was like, that's how I feel. I think that's really cool. I really love that we have that type of community that we can, like, talk about that kind of stuff and get really deep.
It also offers people a way to, like, forge stronger connections, quote unquote, like, in real life, right? Because some of this stuff is so, the feelings that we feel are, like, so complicated or so big that it is really hard to put them to words. And having somebody else articulate that, like, makes it easier for you to be able to share that maybe with people in your life that, you know, they haven't been through it. So, like, they don't really get it. And that's just, like, one more option that you have to, like, try and explain it to them and, like, bridge that gap a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard about people sharing the podcast with family members, like, hey, go listen to this episode. This is how I feel. I think that's really cool. I had a really hard time expressing how we were doing when we were going through it, like, in the beginning where it was extra hard. I, like, made the podcast and did, like, my first episode of, like, what it was like to find out that Kimball had medical stuff going on. And, like, my sister listened to it and she was like, Maddie, I had no idea that this was this hard for you. I'm like, sorry. Like, for some reason, it's easier to, like, record it and then send it out. And then, so I think that that can be kind of a cool way to, like, tell people how you're feeling without having to, like, sit down and be like, I've never felt more depressed in my life. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes that's hard to, like, just, like, say it to someone. Right. So.
Totally. It's so funny you say that, because after my episode with you came out, it's not that, like, our family wasn't around. Like, they were around, but, like, our story with Gemma was so much, like, happened in, like, such a short period of time that, like, I don't even think, like, in our family there's that many people who have all the details. So I did have family members after that and were like, I did not realize all of this stuff happened.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, like, there are pieces to that. I think we think, kind of, like, having been through it all, we forget, like, how little people outside of, like, our immediate families oftentimes, like, get to experience the diagnostic process. Mm-hmm. And the Rare Life is one, like, little way that you can have them go on that journey with you, even if they're not doing it immediately in real time.
Yeah. I guess it's a good time to put in a plug, too, for season 9, because that's, like, the theme for that season's going to be relationships and how those have been impacted. So stay tuned, because we're going to talk a lot more about that and, like, how to bridge those gaps and how it feels to have the gaps and all the things, because that's a really big topic. And then also with Alisa, it's so cool that she's from Brazil. I love that this podcast has reached so many different countries. We do have listeners in 93 countries, which I think is just amazing. And right now, I'm so excited. I just heard about this program that they're developing right now. It's not, like, official, and I'm really hoping it really pulls through, but it is meant for podcasts to, like, translate them into different languages. And so I cannot wait to translate episodes into Spanish, and we can do Portuguese. We can do, like, several different languages, because I know there's also someone requested recently. She was like, English is my second language, but I have family members who don't speak English and they really want to know what it's like, and I really want to give them these episodes. So I was like, stay tuned, we're gonna work on that. But that's, like, coming in the future, guys. I'm really hoping, so stay tuned for that, just to get it to more people. I think it's gonna be really, really exciting.
Absolutely.
All right, let's hear what our last listener has to say. Megan.
My name is Megan. My daughter is now a little over 2 years old, and she has been diagnosed now with combined immunodeficiency, which led to a near-death experience with bacterial meningitis, which has left her visually impaired, deaf, and globally developmentally delayed. I listen to The Rare Life because her experience is so one of a kind and unique that it's really hard to find community and feel like anyone truly understands. And so The Rare Life is that community. Season 8, I love all of the seasons, but season 8, a big one that stuck with me was episode 135, which was about careers and how careers are impacted when you have a medically complex child with disabilities. And my career was in special education for nearly 20 years before this happened. And so to be on the parent end of it has been extremely eye-opening from a professional standpoint and difficult to navigate on the parent end. And so now that she's almost school age, I'm looking back at getting into my career again, maybe even just part-time. And it's just a lot to think about. So that episode meant a lot to me, and I am so thankful to have found this community, and I'm so incredibly thankful that Madeline had the gumption to move forward and do this. This is a need in our community, and I truly cannot express what it has given me in my life to move forward. Thank you.
That warms my heart. I love hearing that so much.
That's a thing you hear over and over again, though, right? Like, it's just so lonely when you start out on this journey. And it's really hard to find your people because you can't, one, like half the time you can't leave the house because either you have a sick child or like an immunocompromised child or like they just have a lot of equipment and it's hard to leave the house. So it's not like you're like going to a park to like find friends with people with kids like yours or whatever, mm-hmm. you know? So having this digital space to be able to reach across states, reach into like homes where all of our peers are is incredible and like something generations before us didn't have.
Yeah, no, it really is incredible. That's one thing, I think I've quoted this before on here, but it's been a while, so I can say it again. When I was like researching starting the podcast, there is this like podcaster unrelated to disability, but podcaster that talks about podcasting. And he was like, podcasting is the best way to scale intimacy. And I latched onto that. I was like, yes, because I feel like it can, you know, you can have a really intimate conversation about your deep, dark thoughts and whatever, like related to disability parenting, and then scale that. It's not just one-on-one. It's all of a sudden, you know, it's thousands of people listening. And so that is the magic of technology these days. Like you say, I think, like, I don't know, what would we do without the internet these days? Like, it just would be so hard to go through this by yourself. And being able to connect with other people in the Rare community, I think, is really great because we're kind of the group of misfits all put together that don't really have like this big thriving diagnosis with conventions and everything. So
no, and it's so hard to find, you know, if your kid is like one of 1,000 or even less, like 1 of 100, 1 of 50, it's like impossible to find your other people, right? Mm-hmm. But all of us together, kind of like you said, understand the like rare medically complex experience because there's so many facets of all of our stories that end up being really familiar and recognizable.
Yeah.
Across the board.
Yeah, totally. I think story episodes are a testament to that too, because they're literally telling the most specific thing ever. And then you can still be like, oh, me too. Oh, me too. And it's a completely different diagnosis, but the parent experience is usually like, there's going to be some really common themes like medical teamed betraying your trust, you know, things like that.
Yes. To get really specific.
Purely hypothetical. And then another thing I wanted to point out, like, too, just listening to her message is like, see, I don't know if she goes to these, but the discussion groups, I just keep hearing such great things. I don't go to them myself. I kind of want to keep a little distance from it and like let it just be like a listener thing. But like the facilitators that do that, then people who are like going to those every couple weeks, these meetings, people really like them. So I would really encourage people who want a deeper level of connection. I feel like the podcast is really great. You can passively listen. For a lot of people, that's what they're ready for. And they're not ready to really like talk yet. They just want to listen. But if you're feeling like you want to like discuss your own thoughts on different episodes and like, okay, but like, let me tell you how this relates in my life or like what thought popped into my head or whatever, these discussion groups are a really great way to do that. So there's a plug for that.
And like, if you're not ready to talk to people in real life with a video and everything, I have had people ask me, they're like, how did you find all these people in the medical community that you chat with personally? And it's like, well, I just kind of messaged a lot of people at the mm-hmm. beginning, like on Instagram. I know that some people are still sort of like uncomfortable with that, but there is that layer of it's like sending a letter now. Like you can send your little like Instagram letter across, and like more often than not, people in this life with us are like looking for people to talk yeah. to. And so like if you reach out to someone and are like, all of this, I totally get it. We had the exact same thing happen to us. 80% chance they're like immediately going to respond to you mm-hmm. and you're going to have a new best friend.
Yeah, I love that. I'm like, yes, please, me too. I really want to talk. Well, and we, another little plug for season 9, we have a whole episode about that. I'm so excited. It's a good one about making friends in the disability realm. Yeah, so yay for community. Okay, so like kind of switching over to like behind the scenes, let's talk about really quick the sticker club and fundraising and the trailer, because I would say like that is probably like the number one like behind the scenes that people were not seeing. It was like hustling our buns back here while also trying to like keep up with episodes, but like being like, okay, but like the trailer, and okay, but like the fundraiser, and how is this gonna look, and what are we gonna do for this, and how do we get funding without pressuring families, and how do we make it fun, and blah 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 blah. So yeah, that's been interesting.
We also redid the whole website, so like
yes
that was the whole thing.
Yes, lest that get forgotten. Oh my gosh, all the things.
I mean, I have to say, like, making the stickers for Sticker Club was actually really fun. It's one of those things where it did come together pretty fast. Like you said, like, really hustling behind the scenes to get it. But they look so fun. And it was really fun to sit down and do something. Like, this work is creative and, like, the editing is creative. But it's nice to, like, put together something that's, like, so visual and kind of punny in some ways. Mm-hmm. So by the time this comes out, we'll have made the official announcement on Instagram about like the sticker designs. So if you haven't seen that, you should go look at them. Mm-hmm. Some of them are really witty. And I have to say, like, you came up with all the phrases. I did the drawing and text, but the ideas are yours.
Some of them. The venting one, that was a listener, I think, because I opened it up to people and I was like, okay, guys, what punny things can we put on here? I think that was a listener. Mm-hmm. I can't remember who it was. I wrote it down.
That was a good one.
I think the peace, love, and the rare life, I think that one was someone else.
That one's one of my favorites, too. That one comes on a holographic sticker, guys.
It's so cute, you guys. Ugh. Go check it out. There's a plug. Yeah, it's been kind of fun, too, because, like, we have 12 Sticker Club members right now at the time of recording, which is exciting and stuff. Our goal is 100, so I'm like, we got some ways to go. But it's been really cool because I think 3 out of those 12 are international listeners. Someone from Brazil. It was actually Lisa. Yay, Lisa. Someone from the UK, someone from Mexico. So I think this is like really cool. Not only do we have like listeners in these different countries, but like these are like our top like supporters too, which is like really fun.
International Sticker Club.
Yeah, it's really great. I really love it. Here's another shameless plug, guys. Go check out the stickers, maybe sign up, help us keep making this podcast. It's helping us fund season 9, so which is obviously really important to us. So yeah, we'll have a link in the show notes for that or therarelife.org/stickerclub. All right, so yeah, that kind of like wraps up season 8's finale. Yay for some really awesome episodes, really hard but important topics, and some really great guests. So coming up January 18th, season 9 will officially kick off. Between now and then, we will be working furiously and fast trying to get as many episodes ready for season 9 as possible. But yeah, check that out, January 18th. Mark your calendars. And in between now and then, we will be re-releasing our holiday episodes from last year. So those actually did super well. Like, those were very listened to. So I guess the chances are that a lot of you have already listened to them. But I think re-listening to them would not be a bad thing as we're getting into the holiday season more and more. And if you have not listened to them yet, please go check those out. They all 3 of them are with Amanda Griffith Atkins. They were some of our first ones together. Surprise, surprise. So the first one is why holidays can be tough for us, and then ideas on how to make that a little easier. That one's a long one because there's so much to say about that. The next one will be holidays while in the hospital, and then holidays while isolating at home. So these are all unfortunately very relevant to this community. And that first one, the why holidays can be tough and ideas on how to make that easier, is actually coming out next Wednesday. because we didn't want it to come out like literally on, you know, American Thanksgiving. So it will be the day before if you need that little, like, you know, we talk about Thanksgiving in there and like family gatherings. So if you need some solidarity and ideas on how to navigate that, check that out. And yeah, we will see you with brand new episodes on January 18th. See you then.